This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
Here's your money briefing for Sunday, January 21st. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The third installment of our four-part series about planning your financial future focuses on the biggest purchase you're likely to make in your life, a home. And while picturing yourself inside a new home might be easy, the path to get there is filled with questions.
This is also a long commitment. It's why people will put off buying a home or they will rush to buy a home. Because if you're looking at fixed rates on a 30-year mortgage, that means you're going to be with that interest rate for 30 years. You can refinance, you can do other things to either lower it or change it, but you have to feel comfortable with it.
We'll talk to WSJ's Beray Lamb and Julia Carpenter, authors of the book, The New Rules of Money, after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Eaton Vance High Yield ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find smart bond selection from a specialized team with deep fixed income expertise. Get to know what's inside EVHY, the symbol of high yield done right, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
Should you buy a house? It's an important question, but it's not the only question you should ask if you're thinking of buying your first home or moving to a new house. Beray Lamb and Julia Carpenter, authors of The New Rules of Money, join me. Welcome back, guys.
Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
It seems like every week we get new stats about the housing market. New home prices, existing home prices, mortgage rates. Give us a quick snapshot of what the housing market looks like right now.
We are in a period of time where there is very low housing inventory. And if you talk to any house hunter, they already know this. There is a dearth of starter homes for first-time home buyers, and that puts them at a real disadvantage when they're trying to find something that is affordable, but also the right size for them.
Affordability, it has really been like the word that people have been really focused on the last couple years. We had a period of low interest rates, which made housing theoretically more affordable. But during that time, because of the low inventory and the high competition, prices were actually driven up quite a bit. So even if you have a low interest rate and you can borrow money for cheaply, you were still paying like a big sticker price for these homes. And now, you know, we're in a period of higher interest rates. People are expecting the Federal Reserve to cut rates in the coming year, though we don't know when. When rates move down, housing prices tend to move up. It also frees up inventory. But when rates go up, there's maybe more to pick from and sellers who are more willing to negotiate with you.
So let's talk about the first steps that people could take who want to buy a house. There are lots of apps with pages of listings, but when people see the price, what questions should they be asking themselves?
A lot of people see a price and they think either, wow, that is way too much money. That's definitely what I think when I look at listings. Or they think, oh, okay, that's actually doable for me. But it's all about the mortgage. You need to look at what the mortgage rate is, what you can afford in terms of monthly payments on your mortgage, and also what makes sense for you. If you're paying this mortgage for 30 years, you need to think about what your stability is in terms of income and what your life is going to look like.
I have a different take on this. I've never thought that the first step that you take to buying a house is to browse Zillow or like look at listings. I look at my bank account because the first thing you need to learn about a mortgage is the down payment. How much do I need for a down payment? How much can I afford monthly in terms of a down payment? So I would start from there, which is save money. Or if you have a good amount saved, I would work that way. I would say, like, this is how much I could put down for a down payment, and this is how much I can afford for a monthly. What's my budget? And then start browsing.
But don't you think, though, that what you have saved for a down payment determines the mortgage?
It
and
could.
Vice versa.
It
yeah.
Could. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking about so many people who say, wow, this looks great. And I'll just put down 2% for a mortgage. That's awesome. And then I say, well, hold on. Look at what the mortgage is. If you put down 2%, that's going to be a really expensive mortgage. And for a lot of people, they can only afford to put down 2%. So that means, all right, maybe not the right time to buy a house right now.
And it brings us back to Know Your Numbers, a big section of your book about really the discipline people need to take if they're going to go in and make a big purchase like this.
The other thing a lot of people now are wrestling with is that they may have enough saved to put down 5% as a down payment, which could be a lot of money depending on what the house is. But because we are in this period of time where we're seeing low inventory and a lot of competition, if you're putting down 5% as a down payment, you might not be as competitive as someone who comes in and says, no, I can put down 10%, or someone who comes in and says, actually, I'm going to buy all cash.
How does your credit score fit into this equation?
It's a big part of the equation. So getting your credit score up, if you're a potential home buyer, like that's the end game. If you take out a mortgage, it's the biggest loan you will ever have in your life. Like for most Americans, it's the biggest amount of money they will ever borrow. And so you want a really good interest rate on that big loan so that you're making less payments and interest. But if you really want to understand mortgages and interest and how you repay the bank and why there's so much interest on this amount of money, because you're borrowing a lot, that's the first thing. A mortgage is a highly leveraged loan. In no other situation are you allowed to give 2% and then borrow 98%. Just think about when you're allowed to do that in your life. You're really not allowed to do that in any other circumstance other than buying a house. And you're not allowed to buy stocks that way. Amortization is how the banks charge interest for such a high sum. When you look up average mortgage rates, and Freddie Mac, the federal agency, puts out average mortgage rates every Thursday. Homebuyers have to start keeping an eye on those. But what happens is that's an average. And your credit score could either make you higher than that average or lower than that average. And when we're talking about such a large sum, every little bit counts.
So if we see the average mortgage rate around the country is 6.9%, you could potentially get yourself a 6.6% with a good credit score, or potentially a 7.2, 7.3 if your credit score is a little bit lower.
Absolutely. And the other thing that Beret was saying about thinking about how much money it is, this is also a long commitment. It's why people will put off buying a home, or they will rush to buy a home. Because if you're looking at fixed rates on a 30-year mortgage, that means you're going to be with that interest rate for 30 years.
How should the length of time you plan to be in the house factor into your decision-making here?
That's the place I think a lot of people should start. When I talk to someone who says, I'm sick of renting, I want to buy, I immediately say, oh, okay, well, do you want to stay in New York for a long period of time? And they go, well, no, I'm not sure. Maybe I'll move in the next 2 years. And I'm like, okay, well, then don't buy a house. You know, what you want to do is make sure that you're getting that return on your investment, because when you pay your mortgage, you're paying into the equity you have in the house. What you don't want to do is front all of this money, move into the house, which, by the way, moving is expensive and people forget about that, get set up and then realize, oh, I'm going to have to turn around and sell this place in 2 years. Really not a smart idea.
There's a lot of things that are underappreciated about renting. A lot of people see renting as like throwing money into the toilet. I think what you have to recognize as a renter is like the positive things that it affords you, like
you're
flexibility.
Free.
Yeah.
Well, you can kind of put the brakes on things and save money
totally.
Even though you're paying rent.
Yeah.
And as a homeowner, there is a lot of money you have to spend that you won't like spending, that you would rather use on your vacation. And when you're a renter, you can call your super or call your landlord to fix your boiler. And when you own your own place, that's all on you. People aspire to home ownership, which is a great thing to aspire to. We know that's how Americans have built wealth in the past decades. But there's a lot of things about renting that are positive and might fit your life, especially your financial life, a little better. And eventually, when you're planning to live somewhere for, they say, at least 5 years to recoup the closing costs and 10 years if you're really trying to maybe turn a profit here, you might just stick to renting. Like if you're moving around and, like Julia said, buy a place, pay the closing costs, sell it, paying like a broker cost and taxes.
So many other things.
You mentioned closing costs and taxes, and it brings up a question about the math. In addition to having the money for the monthly mortgage, what other expenses should people be prepared to have to pay for if they buy a house and move in?
So closing costs are what you're going to pay when you are actually signing the paperwork and moving in. It's a one-time cost, which is a good thing for people to prepare for, but also kind of adds to everything else you're fronting right away. You're signing over this big down payment. You're paying your real estate agent. You're adding all these other things. So it's something that shouldn't be ignored.
In terms of upfront costs, you've got the down payment. You've got the costs that you're going to have to pay. There are fees associated with the mortgage. You have the inspection, which you'll want to do. And then all of that is sort of wrapped into closing costs. So taxes, mortgage fees. In New York, we have a mortgage recording tax. We have a mansion tax. If you watch Selling Sunset, there's going to be a mansion tax also.
Huge
in California.
Huge plot point is the mansion tax.
Yes. So it varies by regionality, closing costs, because the taxes are different and the mortgage costs are different. But on average, the recommendation is to save about 5% of your total housing cost. So if the total cost of your house, like the listing price, is $1 million, you will want to have $50,000 for your closing costs.
Now, how about recurring costs after you move in?
We say house, but like you can also be buying an apartment. So,
or a condo.
Or a condo or a co-op. You want to check the monthly. Either you might have an HOA fee, homeowners association fee. And that's not just for apartments. If you're in a gated community, there will be HOA fees. There might be maintenance fees. You'll also want to have an emergency fund with a couple months of your mortgage payments. And also in case of emergencies, like your boiler breaks or your roof leaks, these are things that you have to fix right away. You also want to account for homeowners insurance. We just had a great story by our colleague Jean Eaglesheim, who covers the insurance industry, on the fact that home insurance is one of the fastest rising costs for homeowners right now, because insurance companies are accounting for climate change and they're paying out more claims and it's harder to get home insurance these days.
Everyone's home buying experience is different. What was it like for you?
I'll use my situation as an example because I really want to own a home. My girlfriend and I have been saving for a down payment. We have amassed an amount of money that I feel really proud of, but would not be competitive. So what we're doing right now is we're still paying rent, but we are just adding money to that down payment and waiting to see what happens. Maybe interest rates will drop and my mortgage is more affordable. Maybe I'll get a better rate. Maybe I'll start looking deeper into Brooklyn, which means that I'll have options that are a variety of different prices. All these different things could work out for me, but just right now I have to be in this space of knowing this isn't the time and all I can do is just keep saving money.
I tell my housing story to Julia too, which is that I waited a long time to become a homeowner. I'm still not a homeowner because it turns out the process is long and arduous. But my needs changed as I was home hunting. And I'm actually really glad that I waited, because when I first started home hunting, I was single and looking for a studio. Then I had this boyfriend I got really serious about, and we looked for a one bedroom. And then the boyfriend and I got married and we had a child and we were looking for a two bedroom. And now we are about to have a second child. And so because of my needs changing so rapidly in the past decade, as my life situation changed, my housing needs changed.
That's WSJ's Beray Lam and Julia Carpenter. And that's it for your Money Briefing. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.